Welcome to Just the Taste. I'm Scott Curry with Chef's Best. We gather to talk about the trends in marketing, retail, and production in food and beverage that are shaping the industry. Joining us today is Lilani Astacio. Lilani is Head of Marketing and Communications for Orca Bay Seafoods, where she leads marketing and PR across retail, food services, and direct, as well as serving as a staff nutritionist. Prior to Orca Bay Seafoods, she was Domestic Marketing Manager for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and a Product Specialist for Dole. It's also worth noting her involvement as an assistant manager for the federally funded Child Care Food Program at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. She is also a board member for the Pacific Northwest Food Industry Circle and the Northwest Fisheries Association. She's also a board member for the nonprofit organization Street Yoga and volunteers as a nutritionist for Solid Ground. Quite busy, it sounds like, Lilani, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Scott. Thank you. It is a mouthful. Right away.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say you like seafood.
I do. I've been lucky enough to market for products that I enjoy also as a consumer and end user.
Good. And full disclosure, our Orca Bay is often found in my own freezer here. So we share that like. So I know there's a few hot topics we'll get to in a bit. As there seems to always be a little bit with seafood. But first, tell our listeners a little bit about Orca Bay.
Orca Bay, we are based in Seattle, Washington, and we've been in the game for over 30 years. We are distributed nationally, and we responsibly source seafood from all over the globe. Locally, we source from Alaska and Washington and Oregon, but we try to appeal to all of our consumers and a lot of the tropical items like mahi and yellowfin tuna aren't as local. And so we still have really strong ties and relationships with suppliers in those regions to source.
And your distribution networks, I understand you have retail, which I essentially take to mean through supermarket systems, food services, and direct. Could you just shed a little bit of light on each three of those and mention any I may have missed as well?
Yes. So as you mentioned, we do work in food service, business to business. We work with a lot of the main broadliners like Sysco and US Foods and also smaller independent ones as well. And just in the past couple of years, we've started to go direct to consumer as well via Orca Direct, our e-commerce store online. And that has kind of taken off a bit. It's still new to consumers to receive, frozen seafood direct. So we're still trying to penetrate that market.
Right. There seems to be a handful of companies that I've seen that are bringing seafood direct to market. Both of us, I think, residing here in coastal communities, we might be a little bit in the bubble. Meaning we don't live in Nebraska, but what is driving some of that, assumed demand for seafood delivered, in a direct manner? Is it purely, is it geography? Is it convenience? I don't think it's cost, but what's driving what seems to be at least a little bit of a mini explosion there with a lot of, companies seeking to create that space and enter that market?
I think it's our evolving consumer. A lot of shopping is done via mobile or online, and everyone's getting really used to having access at their fingertips. I also think that the meal kit trend and popularity is getting people more comfortable with receiving food that way, and so there. Seafood, we'd be foolish to kind of sit back and not try to partake, even though there are a little more difficulties product being so perishable and also having to keep it from our warehouse to their door. But, we do what we can.
Sure. So a never-ending topic in seafood is frozen versus fresh, right? And I think that it is, I think it's fair to say more than any other food that I can think of, that there is a difference between freshness. I've heard all shrimp is frozen, so that doesn't matter, but I could share two very quick stories. One in your neck of the woods up at Port Angeles, where I had salmon that I believe was, the so-called fresh off the boat hours before. And I had never had anything like it in my life. The only other time I ever had it like it in my life was when I was in Point Reyes, California. And someone served me salmon that, again, was, I believe, caught that morning. And I had never had anything like it in my life. And I'm a fan of salmon, eat it regularly. So there's that level of fresh, which is literally you just caught it hours before. And again, those two specific examples, I could still remember those moments in my life. But that's rare. That's hard, right? That's really, really hard.
You're a lucky person if you're able to get the daily catch fresh on your plate.
It was incredible, incredible. Then you have, fresher, so not the daily catch, but fresher. And I think that we all know what that tastes like. And then you have, while this isn't fresh, right? And we've all had some of that, perhaps. And then you have frozen. And I personally don't know where frozen sits on that spectrum. So I'm going to turn it over to you a little bit to maybe help us understand the spectrum of fresh versus frozen, what we should be looking at for as consumers, how, and maybe even if you could share how taste is affected, if it's frozen, for how long or what have you. But you're the expert. So what does that spectrum look like?
Well, what a lot of people don't realize with frozen seafood is that it is frozen pretty close to being caught out of the water, being harvested out of the water. And when that seafood is kept frozen and goes down the entire supply chain, you've really locked in that freshness. Where things can go a little weary and where hesitation or pause may take place is the mishandling of the frozen product from harvest to shopping cart. And when that happens, you'll notice a lot of ice buildup on the frozen seafood. You'll see visually a freezer burn that can happen. The taste does start to go, and because it's a protein, when something is frozen, the water molecules get locked into place, and then if there's a thawing, if there's any little bit of thawing and then a refreeze again, that tends to waterlock the product, if you will, and that can, as you mentioned, affect taste and texture when that happens, depending on what the seafood is, whether it's salmon or a white fish, a flaky white fish. Or even shrimp, like you mentioned, a lot of it is frozen. I would say a good amount of it is. It's very rare for someone to have never frozen fish or shrimp. And if that's mishandled as well, you can definitely see the same visual effects as well as texture.
So looking under the hood a little bit, give you a chance here to differentiate Orca Bay. How does Orca Bay assure along the supply chain, that level of confidence that, it was prepared, delivered through the supply chain properly, I assume some seafood does not. Again, I'm not trying to bash anyone, but other companies and whatnot might not be as careful in that. What does Orca Bay do?
That's a great question, Scott. What Orca Bay does, whether we're talking an imported product or a domestic product, what happens is the fish or harvest is frozen at peak freshness. And throughout the supply chain, there's various temperature checks to make sure the product has stayed frozen. There's histamine tests that are also given, as well as a visual inspection of every product that's received at our warehouse.
Mm-hmm. And you know, looking at consumers, and I think I sometimes fall into this category myself, consumers seem to often eat at a restaurant seafood, but not at home. Mm-hmm. I should say my mother-in-law doesn't like seafood cooked in the house, but that's a different story. Why is it? Why is it that when we look at a menu at a restaurant, we go, "Ooh, look, halibut," or you know, Chilean sea bass, or you know, shrimp added to pasta. Yet it's not the first thing that we think of when we're in our own homes. It's beef and chicken, right? I think. Why is that?
That's definitely, you're touching on a huge hurdle for a seafood marketer like myself. Consumer education is one of my biggest priorities on a day-to-day. And like you mentioned, when you're out at a restaurant, there is so much excitement if you do see a seafood option because seafood's great. It tastes good. It checks a lot of the boxes off as consumers that we want. It's healthy. It's high in protein. There's a lot of different varieties of it. It's a lean protein on top of that. It's recommended by our health professionals. And the pause and hesitation for people to purchase it on the retail level and to try it at home is just not being comfortable with it. Like you mentioned, we're willing to mess up a chicken recipe because it's not that much of a loss. There's a price point depending on what it is. You mentioned halibut, and that's a little bit pricier than a piece of chicken. And so I think that that's definitely one of the hurdles that consumers have trying to prepare their own seafood dish at home. So we're doing lots of recipe development, not just Orca Bay, but a lot of different players in the seafood industry to help get folks more comfortable with it and to try it and, you know, encourage them that to buy it and see the price point between going out to a fine dining restaurant and having, you know, 4 or 6 scallops if you're lucky, that price point versus buying a pound or 2 pounds of scallops at the store and preparing it for yourself or your family is a much better deal.
Mm-hmm. And there's some taboos as well, I think, around seafood in some situations. I guess as a marketer, there's some of that, those hurdles as well. Share with us a little bit about what some of those are and how you overcome those.
I think for a long time, and even current day, if someone goes to a barbecue or a picnic or a potluck of some sort, and if anything feels off afterwards, they'll kind of do a scan of, what did I have? And if seafood was part of the mix, it usually unfairly and unfortunately for us will get the blame. And that's, yeah, that's just the way the cookie has crumbled for quite a while. And so again, consumer education, I didn't touch on it the last time you asked, but you know, if we're talking fresh seafood, if you look at, if it's a head on fin fish, if you look at the eyes and see that, you know, the eyes are clear, if you look into the gills and they're nice and vibrant and a healthy flesh toned red, as well as the scales, like, are they, you know, are they nice and bright and silvery, or are they kind of flaking off and getting a little discolored? The smell, I mean, nothing can fool a human sense of smell. Those are all things that we encourage consumers, you know, when they're out yeah, the farmer's market, or here in Seattle, we have Pike's Place markets, or even at the grocery store, at the seafood counter. Those are self-checks to do for ourselves. And I think that will help, again, with beating that common taboo that we do get. Another one, too, is for a while, health professionals have told expecting mothers and to avoid seafood at all costs because of mercury levels. And that has changed, and it has changed a lot in the last 5 years. And they are singing a new tune. There are lots of benefits for expecting mothers, nursing mothers, as well as young children and brain development and eyesight and health or heart health. There are just lots and lots of benefits to it. And the guidelines have been rewritten of how much seafood pregnant women should be consuming.
Now, all Orca Bay is wild caught, correct?
All of Orca Bay is all natural, meaning no artificial, and nothing artificial added. So it is wild caught. Actually, sorry.
Okay.
Thinking of the brand.
You know, it could be tough. You know, you have such a diverse product line and everything.
Is all of Orca Bay branded products are all natural, and most of it is wild caught. But we do have an all natural tilapia, which is farmed.
Okay.
But natural.
Got it. So before we let you go, I know there's an important initiative you have that's called the Hope to See a Cure cause. And I think that you're partnered with City Hope on that. Tell us a little bit about your involvement in that and why it's so important to your organization.
See a Cure initially launched about 13 years ago. And one of our founders, Trish Hawker, was diagnosed with breast cancer. Our seafood industry, so ourselves, our partners, for lack of better words, if you want to call other seafood companies competitors, our competitors, lots of people who have worked with Trish or know her or knew her at the time made a huge donation to breast cancer research. And it was very moving. It was such a generous gesture. And when I was hired on board in 2015, our president, Ryan Mackey, asked me to relaunch it as part of my onboarding process. Mm-hmm. And since then, with the help with other seafood companies and partners of seafood and friends and family, we've relaunched it every year. We do different events that benefit City of Hope, which is one of the leading cancer research centers in Southern California. And it's really great. It really brings not only our industry professionals together, but it also is in collaboration with the health benefits that our product has, and it's just a great ship all in all.
Awesome. Outstanding. I know that you also support the National Fisheries Institute, SeaShare, and the Whale Research Center. So it's great to hear that. Considering that I am a consumer, as I said, of Orca Bay, to know that at least a portion of my purchases are going to good causes for people and for the environment and sustainability as well. How can folks find out more? I know there's orcabayseafoods.com, and I believe you can go to Instagram, Orca Bay Seafoods as well. But are there any other ways that you'd like our listeners to know how they can get in touch and keep in touch with you?
Yeah, in addition to the social media platforms, Instagram that you mentioned, we also have Pinterest, which we have recipes on there. We have a Facebook page and Twitter as well. And like you mentioned, the National Fisheries Institute, they support the entire industry and are a really great resource for any consumer in regards to seafood, whether they want to dive deep into sustainability or kind of poke around at delicious recipes that they could try. They cover all of it, and they don't represent any one company. They represent, like I said, the entire global seafood industry.
Awesome. We'll check that out. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about Orca Bay and, shedding a little bit of light as well as the kind of some of these consumer behaviors and a few of the myths out there as well that I know is a marketing professional you're seeking to tackle. So thank you for joining us and enjoy what is left of the Seattle summer while you're up there. And we'll have to have you check back in as Orca Bay continues to grow.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you for joining us on Just a Taste, a Chef's Best production. Join us again next time as we talk to more experts in marketing, retail, and production in the food and beverage industry. You can always visit us at chefsbest.com to learn more.